Hello everyone, Annette and Ada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette and Ada. Today, we're starting section 9 of part 2. What is the second coming?
And lesson 301 already.
Isn't that something? 301?
Yes, 301.
Ah, feels like just yesterday we're starting.
With lesson 1.
I know.
Yeah, now the leaves are turning and have turned, just the year's going by.
Yeah, it's interesting starting this as you like us to do, January 1st.
Yeah.
We start winter, we go from winter to winter.
We go from winter to winter. And this has been my, without a doubt, my most, I think, growth-filled year with the course. With doing the lessons every day. You know, I study other things along with Course in Miracles, but the Course in Miracles, I always come back to A Course in Miracles, especially living in what one might characterize as a Christian culture. The Course in Miracles really, it just helps to clear up all the misperceptions that are out there in Christian culture. For me, it doesn't deny Christianity at all, but it does say, you got a few things mixed up. Let's help you with that. And that's what Course in Miracles has just helped me so much with. How about you?
Well, this year I've really, feels like I've gone deeper with it, more how does it all relate to me, taking it beyond just being words or even nice ideas to maybe a more, fulfilling experience.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going to start us out with what is the second coming?
Yes. What is the second coming? Christ's second coming, which is sure as God, is merely the correction of mistakes and the return of sanity. It is a part of the condition which restores the never lost and reestablishes what is forever and forever true. It is the invitation to God's word to take illusion's place, the willingness to let forgiveness rest upon all things without exception and without reserve.
It is this all-inclusive nature of Christ's second coming that permits it to embrace the world and hold you safe within its gentle advent, which encompasses all living things with you. There is no end to the release the second coming brings, as God's creation must be limitless. Forgiveness lights the second coming's way because it shines on everyone as one, and thus is oneness recognized at last.
The second coming ends the lessons which the Holy Spirit teaches, making way for the last judgment, in which learning ends in one last summary that will extend beyond itself and reaches up to God. The second coming is the time in which all minds are given to the hands of Christ to be returned to spirit in the name of true creation and the will of God.
The second coming is the one event in time which time itself cannot affect. For everyone who ever came to die, or yet will come, or who is present now, is equally released from what he made. In this equality is Christ restored as one identity, in which the sons of God acknowledge that they all are one, and God the Father smiles upon his Son, his one creation, and his only joy.
Pray that the second coming will be soon, but do not rest with that. It needs your eyes and ears and hands and feet. It needs your voice, and most of all, it needs your willingness. Let us rejoice that we can do God's will and join together in its holy light. Behold, the Son of God is one in us, and we can reach our Father's love through him. What is the second coming?
Lesson 301. And God himself shall wipe away all tears. Father, unless I judge, I cannot weep, nor can I suffer pain or feel I am abandoned and unneeded in the world. This is my home because I judge it not, and therefore is it only what you will. Let me today behold it uncondemned. Through happy eyes, forgiveness has released from all distortion. Let me see your world instead of mine, and all the tears I shed will be forgotten, for their cause is gone. Father, I will not judge your world today.
God's world is happy. Those who look on it can only add their joy to it, and bless it as a cause of further joy in them. We wept because we did not understand, but we have learned the world we saw was false, and we will look upon God's world today. Lesson 301, and God himself shall wipe away all tears.
So a very appropriate lesson after just spending all those days studying what is the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we started out and we were just talking, kind of reminiscing about our journey through the course this year. And so I have tried, not that I've been perfect at it, but I've tried to do every lesson every year since I've been a course student. And it just seems like yesterday that I was reading this line, it needs your eyes and ears and hands and feet. It needs your voice. And most of all, it needs your willingness. It just seems like yesterday I was reading that and here we are again. So, you know, I guess for me, that's where some of these parts of the course are very comforting for me. And, you know, when I get to them again, I think, oh, gosh, in my life, I really needed A Course in Miracles.
Mm.
I really did. I mean, it just has helped me in so many ways. Especially figuring out what love is, you know, and understanding what love is.
Could you say more about that?
Well, you know, the lesson for today, and God himself shall wipe away all tears, it's really true. You know, even in the worst of times, we do have this inner comforter. We have an inner teacher, a guide. And for me, I have to say God himself has wiped away all my tears, you know, and, you know, I'm sure there's tears to come, but for today, for where I stand now is whether there's things in my life that I kind of say, I wonder why that had to happen. I really do know that I wasn't alone in it. And that really the only thing, even if things didn't look like love, the only thing that's true is love.
And with that love, what I love about this, what is the second coming is the action-oriented kind of foundation of it. With that line you love, and I love too, I have it underlined, it needs your eyes, your ears, and hands and feet. It needs your voice, and most of all, it needs your willingness. Like, this isn't a passive course where we can sit around, we can just meditate, and we just meditate, you know, all our fears and all everything away.
Although meditation is a huge part of A Course in Miracles.
It may be a huge part, but it's not the end of it. It's a means to an end, but it isn't the end. And I think we, in our world, we have this idea, it's like, oh, well, I need to calm down, or, you know, oh, I need some kind of self-help or whatnot. It's like, oh, you should meditate, you should practice mindfulness. And we think like, well, that's it. You know, if I meditate every morning, everything's going to be A-okay. When meditation is just another practice, but it isn't the end goal. It's just part of an overarching practice of inviting love into this world, but that love can't just stop when we just go into stillness and shut our eyes and that's all we do. We have to take that same energy that we basically help create during meditation from us to God, from love to us, all that, and then take that with us throughout the day.
Yes. I also will say that this year my meditation practice has really grown, and because I have had such a hard time meditating, and I'm learning a little bit more, especially through the course. I mean, you know, we can just use an idea for the day and have that as our little mantra that we use with meditation.
Mm-hmm. I also think when it comes to meditation, we think there's only one right form of meditation, when meditation is a practice of going inward, when that could be, yes, you can sit still and focus on your breath. That's just fine. But it also can be going on a walk. It can be cleaning. It can be, there's like so many different ways where when we just, it's not like a zone out, but if when we just, the world melts away, so to speak, and we can really go inside and see what's there. Whatever practice helps us get there is wonderful. We don't have to then say, well, you're not meditating right, Anant. Mm-hmm. You didn't, you know, do 4-7-8 breathing. You didn't do box breathing. You didn't sit perfectly, you know, you prefer to lie down in more of a Shavasana kind of meditation. That's not right. I mean, because that's what I've heard is, oh no, you can't meditate when lying down. It's like, come on, guys, who cares? It's like content over form here. Content over form. Even that's what we're learning to me in the second coming of, what content do we really want? We get so caught up on the form that we do judge each other. That we do. Like, what is the first line of our lesson today? Father, unless I judge, I cannot weep. We're so focused on judging the form of everything that even spiritual practices, we say it's only the right thing if it's the right form, when really when we get down to the essence of it and what are we trying to accomplish, that's really all that matters. But we have to then turn that practice into an action. We can't just be meditating and then just go flipping people off as we drive to work. We have to like, okay, what am I trying to cultivate in the meditation? Then use that practice time during meditation and then start living that out throughout our days.
For me, that's what Jesus was saying when he said, you become as little children. Because it's just that innocence. We're not little kids aren't really worried about the form. They're just there with the content.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we're being asked to do.
There are some kids, though, that say you're not playing right. You know?
not the real little, like a 2-year-old.
That's true.
No.
That's true.
No, yeah.
When you get into elementary school, well, that's, yeah. That's when people are like.
Well, then the form has already, I mean, you know, then that ego is already, the ego thought system, we're just really steeped in the ego thought system then by the time. I'm talking about when we're just really little.
True.
You know, that there's that. So, okay. So I wanted to talk about, and God himself shall wipe away all tears. Father, unless I judge, I cannot weep, nor can I suffer pain or feel I am abandoned or unneeded in the world. So when we're coming from a place of judgment, we really are going to suffer.
Yep.
We're going to suffer pain. We're going to feel that we're abandoned. We're going to think we're unneeded and insignificant.
I wanted to, this is great that you're bringing this up, because I wanted to ask you, with this lesson as we were reading it, so what is judgment to you? Because we haven't gotten to the next section, which is what is the last judgment? And so when you read, Father, unless I judge, I cannot weep, nor can I suffer pain or feel I am abandoned and unneeded in the world. When you read that line and see, unless I judge, what comes up for you?
I go straight to nonviolent communication. And, you know, nonviolent communication teaches observation without evaluation, and that evaluation is just judgment. And so it means, like, when we're comparing ourselves to other people, even what you're bringing up, you know, I'm comparing my meditation practice to somebody else's meditation practice, and then I think I'm coming up empty-handed or doing something wrong, or there's could be that, or diagnosing, you know, situations, really getting into analysis and just picking things apart. That's where my mind goes. And that was a huge part of my journey with A Course in Miracles. Was when I first came to A Course in Miracles, I was also learning nonviolent communication pretty close, you know, within a few years here or there. And one of the exercises that I did with myself was to just, you know, see how often I was in judgment. How often was I comparing me to someone else? How often was I comparing, you know, my home to somebody else's home, or my bank account to somebody else's bank account, my body shape to somebody else's body shape? And I remember one day, I will never forget it, is I was going into Walmart, and I love shopping at Walmart. They always have everything I need, and I love shopping at Walmart. But I was going into Walmart, and I literally watched myself judge others, but really in turn myself the whole freaking time. I would say, oh, there's a lady over there. She looks about my age. Boy, she looks a lot better than I do. Oh, look at that over there. And I would just go, I just went on and on. And I got in my car and I just almost cried because I couldn't believe how much judgment was just a part of my daily existence. And from that day on, that's why it's a very, you know, memorable day for me. From that day on, I've really tried to bring awareness of when I am in judgment, because the judgment, you know, when we're comparing ourselves, we can, even if we're saying, oh, you know, that person is, you know, fatter than I am, let's say, we still, they're somewhere inside of us that we're coming from that very painful place if we're going to do that. And so I also realized that day how stressful judgment is. And now, you know, probably this is like 6 years ago. Now when I go into Walmart, I do not judge. I don't even go there. And I have to tell you, I have such a better experience. Like, I have a very pleasant experience. You know, you smile at people, people are pleasant and people are always polite. I've never been in Walmart where people are rude, or it's always just been kind of a beautiful experience. You see the families, you see all different folks, and it's so much less stressful for me because I'm not sitting there just cutting myself down the whole time or cutting someone else down the whole time. And that has been a huge, huge part of my healing journey. So that's what comes up for me.
So you save all that for Target?
No, I don't. When I go into a public place, I can really, but see, that's all that journey to self-love, right?
Right.
That's all the journey to self-love. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect at the self-love yet, but I really can tell you that I've really worked hard to bring awareness to how much judgment is a part of my experience of life.
And when we're judging ourselves and judging others, we can't, our eyes, ears, hands, and feet, our voice and our wills aren't free.
Well, they're silenced.
Yeah, well, they're silenced and they're all used up.
That's true. You're right.
They're all used up with the ego nonsense. And so then there's nothing free to, you would just say, do our part in bringing love into the world.
Yeah.
Because if your mind is like, oh, you know, oh, wow, those pants are sure out of season, yeah, you know, or something,
or
like,
those pants are sure tight, or, you know, why is this person, why didn't they get a haircut? Or, I mean, you know, just all those little judgments. And you think, well, wouldn't that be just harmless? You know, why is that such a big deal? No, it erodes your own self-confidence. It erodes any care that you have for others and yourself. These little things matter.
Well, and as you're judging yourself, so what if we are, you know, we're asking for guidance, we're asking for, you know, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say and to whom? And then the guidance we get is something that would say, oh, wow, that's embarrassing. Or then we start judging ourselves, and then we actually stop in our tracks. So we say, oh, you know, our judgments of others.
Oh, you mean the guidance that you're guided to do, then you're judging that as that would be embarrassing to me?
Yeah, to do.
If I really did it?
Yeah, to do. And then we can stop in our tracks and really not do what we're meant to do in our families and at work, all of that, because we've been so busy judging, and we say, oh, wait, we start judging that, not necessarily in its validity or whatnot. We just say, oh, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And it just stops us in our tracks. So at the more we judge, the more we have to see that, yes, it's cruel and mean, but then it also stops us in our tracks.
Right. And tomorrow, we ran out of time for today. I want us to have a little discussion about there's a difference between judgment and discernment.
Okay.
Okay? Because it's important, because people say, well, how am I going to live if I don't judge?
Yeah. I think we've brought that up before, but it's always good to recap.
Well, it's good because it's 365 days of lessons, and what we did in, you know, day 50, it's good to review these things.
It's been a long time since
then. It's been a while. So have a wonderful day practicing lesson 301, and God himself show wipe away all tears. I always want to say, and God himself shall wipe away all my tears. So if you want to do it that way, go ahead and do it that way. That's the way I like to do it. And we'll see you tomorrow.
See you then.